This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on developing church musicians in elementary and high school with Dr. Mike Zachary. Dr. Zachary received the degree Doctor of Musical Arts and Piano Performance from the American Conservatory of Music in Chicago, Illinois. Dr. Zachary's college teaching career began in 1982, and he is currently chairman of the music department at West Coast Baptist College.
If you have your Bible, you turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. If you don't have it, just listen carefully, and I'll give you this verse, and then we'll begin with our points. Here in Zephaniah, the third chapter, and in verse 17, the Lord is spoken of here, and it says these words, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Okay, now let's take this verse apart here for just a little bit, okay? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Class, talk to me. Who is mighty according to that verse? The Lord thy God, okay? Then it says, he will save. Who's that he talking about? The Lord thy God, okay? So say, talk to me, don't be so shy. Who is the he of he will save? The Lord thy God, okay? Who is the he of he will rejoice over thee with joy? Lord thy God. Who is the he of he will rest in his love? Still talking about God. Who is the he of he will joy over thee with singing? Oh, that's God. Now, this is very interesting. The Bible, if we unpack that verse carefully, says that God sings. The Lord thy God will joy over thee with singing. Now, sometimes we don't think about that. I mean, you think about, you know, the heavenly creature on the throne or whatever. But according to that verse, God sings. Very interesting thought, right? And so if God sings, then I have a question about singing. When did it begin? What day was singing invented? Well, if God sings, since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there never was a time that there was no singing. So you see, I may be kind of quibbling over theological fine points here, but I don't actually believe it's true that God made music, because I don't think that music was ever made. I think that God shared music because it's part of who he is. Now, I certainly don't take me wrong. I don't think music evolved from, you know, the monkeys and the amoebas or whatever. I'm not saying that. But if the Lord thy God will joy over thee with singing, then there's never been a time when music was invented, because there never was a time when God was. It just always has been. And so when you're dealing with music, and I've got to be careful not to be pantheist here, we're not saying that if you listen to a piece of music, you've touched God. I'm not trying to suggest that. But I am saying that when you're dealing with music, you're dealing with something very special, and you're dealing with something that's divine in its origin. Then you couple that with young people, and then young people were made in the image of God. Okay, and so when we're going to try to help to develop them with musical abilities, we're going to try to help them along. We're trying to make people who are made in the image of God sing songs that the original songs have flowed from God. And so I think that's a very important thing that we want to keep in our minds. Now, my first point that I want to spend a little bit of time talking about here is, if you're going to develop church musicians, we definitely want to encourage singing. And I thought I just had that there. And we want to encourage kids to sing. Now listen, it doesn't matter if they're in a choir, if they're in an ensemble, it doesn't matter if they're in clarinet lessons. We just want kids singing. Now, let me tell you what my experience is. I've got to be very honest with you. The last couple years that I've been here, I haven't taught a lot of children piano lessons. But over my teaching career of more than 30 years, oh my goodness, I've taught hundreds and hundreds of kids. I've taught 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 12-year-olds, and I've taught piano. A girl came up to me. It was just such a blessing to me. On Monday evening, she said, "You probably don't know me." Well, when I knew her, she was like this tall. And she said, "You were my piano teacher in 7th and 8th grade." And I said, oh my goodness, are you that Valerie? I remembered very clearly her mother used to take in seamstress jobs. Your pants need to be mended, I'll do it, to pay for the girls' lessons. You know, and so she said, but now, she said, I've learned, you taught me how to play, and I'm married to this pastor. She pointed to her husband, now I play for church every Sunday. Well, sometimes you're dealing with kids like that. And in my experience of teaching, it's amazing how many kids never sing. They don't sing anything, anytime, anywhere. They just watch and they listen. They punch a button. They have their earphones in or whatever. Many of them don't sing. And so how do you think I do as a piano teacher when I say, hey, can you sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? And because we're going to try to learn to play that by ear or some little thing like that. I don't know that song. Can you sing She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain? I don't know that song. And I'm talking about real live experiences with kids who go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Can you sing Jesus Loves Me? A little bit. Jesus loves me. I don't remember after that. And what I'm saying is a foundation for instrumental music, a foundation for choirs, a foundation for anything is we want the kids singing. Now, if you're like I am, I have one of the worst voices God ever gave a human being. My singing voice, I remember my dad used to hear me sing, say, son, stick to the piano. I mean, it's like, I don't have a good voice. I'm not talking about operatically trained singers. Caro mio bene. I'm talking about just sing. Just sing songs, sing folk songs, sing church songs. Just sing songs. Now, what does that mean? We've got to have some kind of emphasis when you're working with the kids. They've got to be singing. And they have to sing some songs well enough that they can sing out, that they know them. You know, have you ever seen people the first time they try a song and they're trying to glub through the words? I mean, they need to be where they actually know just how to sing it. And so that singing just begins to open up some things. Just singing opens up some ideas in their heads, opens up some abilities, opens up their ability to hear and to perceive pitches so they can match what's going on around them. When you are singing, I'm not going to be the one to tell you, say, don't ever tell your kids to sing so loud they're going to raise the roof. You know how they do. Sing, and some of what they call singing in some, you know, bus routes and children's churches is actually like human screaming. I mean, you know, and there's a good place for human screaming. But sometimes we need to say to them, sing what I sing. You know the old rote method of teaching a song, you know. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. And then you sing it back, you know. And you sing, you know, sometimes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. And they sing, she'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Whatever. No, it doesn't go like that. Sometimes we have to sing to them softer. Sometimes we have to sing to them louder. But we have to have their attention when they're singing. Okay. I like what Alice Parker says. She says sometimes when she goes and helps people in a church setting, she'll sing a phrase, then she'll sing it softer. Because people tend sometimes to just sing, when I survey the wondrous cross. You know, they're this like the autopilot. You know, they're not thinking. And they think that they're singing, but they're not listening to those little nuanced sounds. When, sing it back to me, when, no, that's not the same, you know. There's got to be this back and forth where we're listening, we're teaching those kids to sing songs, we're teaching them to listen carefully while they sing, okay? Now, I'll tell you one of my favorite stories, and this goes along with emphasizing why sometimes we have to sing softly, but I'll never forget years ago, I was teaching in Indiana, and this college graduate came up to me and said, Dr. Zachary, I've always wanted to learn to be a song leader. And here I am, selfish, always the selfish person that I am. My college is not employing me during the summertime. I need money. You need lessons. Let's make a deal. You know, and so you know, here's my rate, and I have a heart for you. You know, and so you know, and so come on over. Let me give you my address. And Alfred, he drove to my little house at 6807 Missouri Avenue, and he came in there, and he was just so he's going to do everything just exactly right. You know, and I showed him a little bit how to make a pattern. You know, he's starting to look like a scarecrow or something. Anyway, he started doing that, and I said, okay, now you have to sing along. Oh, he said, no, I don't sing. You want to learn to lead the singing, but you don't sing? Oh, no, I'm not allowed. He's 25 years old, college graduate. You know, you have those phrases that you tell people and such, tell me about it, you know. This is going to be, who disallowed singing, you know? And all he said, when I was 7 years old, he said, I was singing in the Catholic school, and the nun was lining up all the kids to sing in the little choir. And he said, I sang really off. And she said to me, the nun said, you need to stand back over here, and you just smile. And he said to me, now he's a graduate of a Baptist college. Tell me about this Catholic nun. She said to me, God doesn't want to hear you sing. You don't have a voice. And he said, so ever since then, I haven't. He said, I've been in college with all these hundreds and thousands of people. Every day in chapel, we sing. He said, every day I just stood there and said, I wish I could sing, but God doesn't want to hear me sing. He said, go to a big church, thousands of people there. He said, I just stand there and think, oh, that's so beautiful. I wish I could sing. But I was told God doesn't want me to sing. So I've obeyed the nun for 18 years. Well, normally, you know, you don't use your credentials and things like that. You don't say, excuse me, I'm Dr. Zachary. You know, anyway, so I went over to the piano and I played something for him. And I put it in a very low key. I don't know what possessed me to put it in the key of B. I just went middle C down to octave and the B right next to that. And I played, when I, and I said, sing that for me, beginning of When I Survey the Winter Cross. And he goes, when I, it was like, oh, I thought, yeah, God doesn't want to hear him sing. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. And I just said, shh, listen, sing soft. I played that B real soft. And he goes, I said, sing. And he sang, when I, and so he sang the first phrase on pitch that fast. I stood up to him, and again, it's not how I normally talk. I said, sir, I want to look in your eyes. I want you to look in my eyes. And I say, I want to tell you, as a man who has a doctor's degree in music, that you absolutely can sing. And that guy, tears just rolling down his eyes. He said, yeah, they told me I wasn't supposed to. Okay, but what was the key to get him from I can't sing to I can sing? The key, it's where music starts. Listen, listen. And so, again, I'm not going to criticize. I mean, I rode a bus to church. I was saved as a bus kid. I was saved singing, you know, raucous songs at a vacation Bible school where we're all screaming and yelling. I'm not against it. But there's a time and place where we have to say, listen. Shh. Listen and match what you hear. Because then singing can happen. Okay? So we have to do everything we can with these children just to encourage them singing. If you're singing in a school, teach them folk songs. Teach them She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. Teach them Hey Ho, Nobody's Home. I mean, just teach them songs. Teach them church songs. Teach them Jesus Loves Me. Teach them, just get them singing and try to keep track of watching the people around and see, are they singing? Are there opportunities in this church for kids to sing? Are there opportunities in this school for kids to be singing? And watch them. Are they singing from their heart and freely? Or are they just, you know, I mean, you want to just get that. See, because the very foundation of music is just listening and singing to a melody. Just sing. It's a natural expression. You may be like me and be a bad singer, but hey, we can all just sing something. We can just start singing. And we want to do everything we can to encourage people to be singing. Now, there's something else to encourage people in along the way, and that's getting them to enjoy rhythm. Okay? Now, I'm not going to teach you to do break dancing with the kids, okay? But you know what? Music flows from God. Rhythm is from God. Singing is from God. I'd like you all to stand up with me for just a second. And you're going to have to move, because rhythm is kind of fun. We can do a lot of different things with rhythm. So, I'm kind of chained down with this microphone. I feel like if I go very far, I'm going to get jolted back to the pulpit here. So, I don't know if you all sing me, but how about if we just do anything I do, you do the same. Cheerleading class. Okay, just doing some claps and things like that is a wonderful thing to get. Just, it's fun. Just enjoy rhythm. Da, da, dun, da, dun, da, 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 dun, da, dun. Just do some things like that. Now, this is something that's really wacky, and this is why I have you standing up. What's the difference between "All hail the power of Jesus' name" and, maybe, I don't know if you know the song, "I am happy in the service of the King"? You know that old song? "I am happy in the service of the King." Okay, let's do "All hail the power of Jesus' name." Would you sing "All hail the power of Jesus' name"? Just the opening phrase, ready? All hail the
power of Jesus' name.
Get a little space, and what I want you to do is I want you to take a step for every time you sing a note, like, "All hail the power of Jesus." We're gonna march around like idiots, okay? Let's try it once again. Let's sing it and walk it. Ready? "All hail the power of Jesus. Let angels prostrate." Okay, now let's just, because some of you may not know, this is a Christian Baptist church, so you may not know traditional songs, you know. Let's just practice singing the song, "I am happy in the service of the King." Ready? "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy." Now this is going to be tricky. I want you to walk these rhythms. "I am happy in the service of the King." Let's try it. Whoa, whoa. My microphone doesn't want to try it. Okay. Let's see if I can keep hooked up here. All right. Hold on. There we go. All right, let's try this. "I'm happy in the service of the King." You ready to march this rhythm? Here we go. Ready? "I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. All to Him, all to Him." I don't remember the words. Okay, now hold on. What's the difference between that? And let's do "All hail the power." Ready? "All hail the power of Jesus." Have a seat. Let's talk for a second. What's the difference between and? Okay? Give me some adjectives. What describes one? Let's start with "All hail the power." You've walked it, right? You walked the rhythm. Oh, I've got to tell you, be careful if you teach unsaved people. Had a lady I didn't know, had spent 20 years in ballet dancing. I didn't know. My teacher at the conservatory said, "I'm gone this summer. Can you teach her while I'm gone?" She comes to my house, same house, 6807 Missouri. I said, "Now, just walk this rhythm." She didn't understand. She starts in my little office, swirling around. I hope my wife doesn't come in right now. I mean, you know, it's just like, you got to be careful, because you never know what people might do with rhythm, okay? But anyway, when you walk that rhythm, "All hail the power of," how does that rhythm feel? Who, raise your hand, somebody can tell me. Give me a word. How does it feel? Like a little march. Like, how does it feel? He stole your word. Yeah.
Steady.
Now, this is, girls, this is not going steady. This is just steady, okay? Okay, just steady. How does it feel? Who else? Steady. Military. "All hail the power of Jesus' name." Yeah.
Mundane.
Okay. How does it feel when you walked? How did that feel? I mean, how did that, yeah, what was it? It was exciting. How did it feel? This big masculine, I feel like a little girl skipping through the house, you know. Tiptoe with the tulips, okay? How did it feel? Give me some words over here. How did it feel? Who can tell me? Raise your hand. Yeah.
Happy.
Happy. Did it feel the same as All Hail the Power? Yeah.
It felt more energetic.
Okay, stand with me again. Let's do this once again. Okay. All Hail the Power. It's time for our mundane march. Here we go. Ready? All hail the power of
Jesus' name, let angels prostrate.
Okay, I'm happy in the service. You ready for this one? This will get you going. Ready? Here we go. I am happy in the service of the King. Okay, now hold on. Isn't that fun? Look, if you can't have fun doing that, then just get out of music. Okay, just go teach algebra someplace. You know, just stay away. Don't torture children with your sour self, okay? And so let's do it one more time. Ready? Here you go. I am happy in the service of the King. Oh, that is so cool. Have a seat. Now, if you can get people to enjoy that and they can feel the difference between how that one feels and how All Hail the Power feels, oh my goodness. Then we get into multi-layer thinking. Yeah, yeah. And so we teach them, you know, when you sing the song, I am happy, you got to feel the joy of that rhythm. Because that rhythm says something. The rhythm says, tee. The rhythm says, like a girl flipping through the field or whatever he was saying, chasing butterflies, you know. And so that rhythm says something. Oh, how many times do I hear clarinetists, pianists, flutists, trumpeters playing? Dee, 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 dee. They don't enjoy the rhythm. They don't go, dee, 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 dee. They don't feel, I mean, that rhythm's got a character to it. Now look, you can be sophisticated about this. Now Eric, oh, and from Michigan, sir. And when you do play, I'm happy in the service of the King. This is a buoyant rhythm, sir. And we want to be sure that you express on the piano the exact feeling that the composer had. And so please let the bucolic joy of your heart come out to the piano. Okay, it is like whatever that means. But any kid, any child can understand. Wasn't that fun? Now, when you sing it, you got to have the same fun. All of a sudden, then their singing changes a little bit. It changes up. Because the rhythm can inform the singing. And a lot of times, people never notice the rhythm. They take it for granted. And so, but rhythms have character. Dee, 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 dee. Dee, 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 dee. That's Onward Christian Soldiers. That's a different feel from Joy to the World. Dee, 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 dee. That has a different feel to it. But if we never stop to learn to enjoy that rhythm and feel it and see how it's in, then when we sing it, we may not be able to sing it in that way. Oh, and it's just so sad when people sing like human drones. Joy to the world. Okay. Well, teach them to love singing. Teach them to listen while they're singing. Teach them just to enjoy that rhythm. Feel it. Put it in words. March it. Do something. You know, have you ever been a teacher or teaching a Sunday school class or something, and people are just sitting there looking at you? And you just want to scream to them, feel something. Anything, you know? Well, that's how people, I feel like with choirs, like, if you would get mad at me, I'd appreciate it. You just look like Egyptian mummies, you know? And so we got to get them, you know, doing something to enjoy that a little bit more. And rhythm can be a key. Doesn't always work miracles, but I like that when Brahms said, in the beginning was rhythm. I think that's an interesting little quote because it really does have kind of a musical miracle working power. To get people to enjoy those rhythms is a very good thing. Well, let's move on. I think it's important to expedite lessons. Okay? I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing in your church? Are you the music coordinator? Are you teaching music in the elementary choir? I don't know. Do what you can to get everybody taking lessons. Do encourage lessons. Look, be a little musical diplomat. Just walk up and say to people, you look like someone who would do well playing the piano. Really? Yes, yes, you look like you've got trumpeter lips. Man, you should play a trumpet. Just tell them, just get them going. Fine, now people are kind of crazy. Sometimes and by the way, here's the name, phone number, and address of the teacher. Sometimes you got to kind of help them along just a little bit, you know. I was thinking just recently about a man I was ready to shoot. He was going to get the award for the laziest father in the world. His daughter wanted to take piano lesson from me, and she said, the problem is we don't have a piano. Well, you know, when you teach for money, and people, I'll find him a piano. Okay, yeah, everybody wants it. I found him a piano for free. I said, you just need, and he had a truck. I said, you need to take your truck and go pick it up. Well, he goes, I'm kind of busy. Oh, I wanted to smack him. So I said, okay, I'll get some guys. Could we use your truck to deliver the piano to your house so you won't be inconvenienced? Could you open the door first? Yeah, I can be, boom, like this. So, I mean, found an old junk piano and got it to their house, got the girl to a piano teacher. She's playing for church this day. You know, find a way to get people taking lessons. Now, look, not everybody's going to take lessons. Not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody can afford it. But, I mean, just do what you can. You're going to try to develop a choir. Okay, think with me for a second. See, kids, I don't like kids. I'm an adult guy. I'm in the adult choir. Okay, if you're going to go to your church for 5 years or 10 years, and you're going to be there, and you just start with someone in second grade, and you just get them some lessons, and this guy can play the trombone, so he reads the bass clef. And this girl can play the piano, so she reads both clefs. And you just get more people. And look, it doesn't take long for years to click by. All of a sudden, you've got more and more people feeding into your choir. They already know how to read music. It's going to help that adult choir. Just get them going, because kids grow up. Just get them in lessons. Find a way of doing it. Now, you know, I confessed to you earlier that I'm very selfish and greedy. Just born that way, never had to work on it. But I can remember, partly just because of human compassion, partly because of I want people to do well. But you remember some of these economic downturns we've had? I had some people taking lessons from me, and they came and they said, my husband was laid off. And we're so very sorry. And these were hardworking, like, you know, really kind of top paid people. And I said, no. And I had to throw a temper tantrum because they thought they didn't like the welfare idea. I said, I'm going to keep teaching those kids. I said, and when you get your job back, because you'll get another job, you can start paying me again. But it was a season there. Look, you say, why did you do that? Hey, those kids now are all in church. You know, they're singing and in ensembles, whatever. And, you know, What's an hour a week off my life? It's not going to hurt me. Why? Why would you do that? Because you want to invest in people. You want to pour, get them in lessons. Help them pay for lessons. Get them to a right teacher. Tell the teacher, give this kid a discount. I mean, do whatever you have to do. Just try to get the people into lessons. Now, let me say this to you. If you have kids that you're teaching, it's good to do well at every age. I have found in teaching thousands of lessons, I can't find anything to contradict this. There is something very special, very special, between about the halfway mark through sixth grade and ninth grade. Now, little kids learn. I taught a lady 75 years old who was legally blind. She learned how to play. Everybody can learn. But if you try to work those kids, especially in that sixth to ninth grade, there's something, their body is maturing, their logical powers are, I'm telling you, I've seen them go from into just being able to play. So really try to, now, See, I missed that. Okay, you can still learn. But that sixth to ninth grade is like such a great sponge age for kids. If you know, get them in lessons during that time and try to get them, you know, motivated, because that is an awesome time for them to be learning. Okay, let's move on here because we're going to run out of time. Expedite lessons. Do what you can to expedite lessons. Then the next thing I'm going to say, every time you have a chance, emphasize theory. Emphasize music theory. Okay? Now, I'm going to be very bad with you guys, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that I just are my own personal pet peeve preferences. Some of these little theory books that are out there, I'd like to just squash them. Okay? You know, this book, you know, 75 pages. Here's a page on Beethoven was a great guy. Here's a page on a quarter notes, like a colored in little thing with a stick on it. And here's a page on, you know, the birds are flying through the sky. Do you think they look like notes or rest? You know, I mean, you know, and all these kind of things. And all of that stuff can be cute, but don't miss the essential stuff. Don't miss the essential stuff. Okay, what are some things that are really, really essential in music theory? Boy, try to get them to know their scales and their key signatures and their chords. Try to get them to know that. Now you say, Dr. Z, you're crazy. Those kids can't learn. I know they can because I've taught them. Get them to learn their scales. Get them to learn their key signatures. Get them to learn their chords. Now you say, what do you do? I am a drill sergeant. Class, let's just do it. Oh, I love drilling classes. We're going to learn the C scale right now. Ready? C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. Go backwards. C, B, A, G, F, E, D, C. Now we're going to learn the D scale. Don't forget, the D scale has two sharps. How many sharps in it? F sharp and C sharp. Now don't forget them. Here we go. D, E, F sharp, G, A, B, C. I literally make the kids talk to me. Tell me the notes that are in the scale. Forward and backwards. See, how old do they have to be? They can do that when they're six. They can play them. I mean, it's easier when they're six, to be honest with you. Just make them learn it. Oh, it's so frustrating when you have somebody trying to play the trumpet in your church. Now, what do those flats mean again? You could have learned that. You learned that when you were 10 years old. You know, just put that in their head. Drill. Now, don't be a sinner. You say, oh, I did teach them their scales. We covered that in third grade in lesson number 12. They don't know them. You got to drill them in like you're Hitler's bodyguard putting people in Dachau. I mean, you're just like, you got to drill it into their brain until it's like brainwashed. They will never forget it. One of my favorite stories was a student named Sean, and his roommates came to me and said, Dr. Zachary, could he please drop your music theory class? And I'm saying, why? It's such a great class. He goes, he is chanting his scales in his sleep at night. D, E, F, sharp, D. I said, hey, good for him. You know, it's getting in the subconscious of his. Get him those scales. Tell him the chords. Teach him piano. Teach him to play their chords. You say, oh, little Mary, her hands are so feeble, she can't push them all down together. Fine. Have her go bum, 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 bum. Just have her go up and down. And she does that about 2 or 3 weeks. Her hands will be just fine going boom. Learn to play those chords. Learn the C chord. Learn the D chord. And make them chant them to you. I love chanting. Class, what are the notes of the C chord? C, E, G. What are the notes of the D chord? D, F sharp, A. You know, what? And it's, just do it. It doesn't take long. Just do it every lesson for a couple minutes. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And then you can do fun things like scramble them and say, okay, I'm going to scramble the chord. You unscramble it. Say, what do you mean? So, you know, class, what are the notes of the C chord?
C, E, G.
Okay, I'll say G, C, E. You say C, E, G. What are the notes E, G, C? Tell me normal order.
C, E, G.
What about F sharp, A, D? D,
F sharp.
And just do chord unscramble. Just take a few minutes and say, I'm going to do them out of order, and you put them in order. And we just do games like that. I'm telling you, I remember these two twin sisters. Boy, they were good students. I would bring them in after a few years of lessons. I would bring them into seminars. They were in sixth grade, seventh grade. I would open the hymnal and I would just let it fall open wherever. And I would say, okay, girls, Ready? Begin. Tell me every chord. They would say, oh, that's an F chord, that's C over E, that's it. They could do it as sixth graders. By ninth grade, they're like, this is so easy. Why do you make us do it? But then they could learn to read. When they were playing congregational music, boy, was that helpful. You see, kids can learn all that stuff. You say, well, my kids are stupid. Your kids aren't stupid. But somebody is. Okay, so just teach it to them. And teach them the order of sharps and the order of flats. And just, you know, just teach it to them. And it's amazing. Just put it in their heads. And it's hard for you. I've had students who have come to college. And they're angry. They're like, your class is so hard. I said, well, get over it. And so they learn all this stuff. And then I say to them, try teaching some of this stuff to your kids. And they go, you mean like the stuff we did in college, music theory, to children? I say, yeah, just try it. Like the chords and the scales. And see, and they go, I am so angry. Why? Those kids learn it way faster than I do. Okay, how many of you know that in the history of the United States, back at Harvard University, you know, back when it was a kind of a Christian college for training preachers, you had to know Greek. You had to be able to open a New Testament, read it in Greek, and on the spot translate it into English before you could be accepted as a freshman. That was getting in requirement. How did that work? The kids were not any smarter in colonial America, but the teachers were, because they knew that language acquisition was best done when kids were young. They taught them their Greek, Latin, and all that stuff when they were 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. It's easy for kids. Wait till they're 18, 20, 22. They can't, you know, it's all crazy, you know. And so music is a language. It goes in easy when they're kids. The stuff that you might find hard, those kids will just sail right through it. So when you're teaching them, do what you can to emphasize theory, especially scales and chords and key signatures. I mean, get those basics down, teach them how to count time. We've got to keep moving here. I hope I haven't missed a point. I think I have. Hold on just a second. This computer and I are not best friends. Oh, no, we are best friends. Just a point is missing, so I'll just give it to you. Energized performance. The word is energized performance. And that is somewhat related to what we talked about with the rhythm and things like that. Don't let people sing with the blah blahs. Okay, try to get them excited about the music. But not just excited, you know, for the idiot sake of being excited, but try to get them excited about the music. So if it's a country song, a Western song, like a cowboy song, I mean, try to get them thinking about cowboys, and they'll sing it with more enthusiasm. If it's a song about when peace like a river attendeth my way, try to get them thinking about what does this mean. If it's a song, Wonderful the Matchless Grace of Jesus, get them to march it. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. And get them, because there's so many people, they don't think about the words, they don't think about the rhythms, they just think, Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. This is a funeral march, blessed assured. Everything's the same. From the funeral march to blessed assured, it's all just this big, huge monotone. And so they don't sense the differences. Now, I've got to tell you this, and this is not a slam against college-age people. But in my hymnology class, one of the things that we do is we do, with college-age students, we do textual analysis. We look at the words of the song, and we say, what's this song talking about? Okay? I love to start with the song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from, and they all know it by heart. They've sung it, you know, since five-year-old kindergarten. And I'll say to them, what's the song about? Which is, by the way, a deadly question from a literacy teacher. Can you tell me in your own words what that's about? That's a deadly question, okay? If you want to know how your school is doing academically, just give them a Bible. Open up to a random passage and say, read that for me, and then tell me in your own words what that's about. One guy said, I couldn't put it any better than that. It's like, whatever. And so, I mean, and we do like, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn. And I said, what is that about? And they said, it talks about their salvation for us. Well, but it is about salvation. But what is the song about? I said, can you picture a fountain? Yeah, hey, whatever. You know, like a drinking fountain? No, no. And you walk them through it. And when they get to the point and they say, there's this fountain. Like, think of this fountain that's got this big water. But this is a weird fountain. It's got blood coming up. It doesn't have water. It's filled with blood. And people are jumping into it. But when they come out of it, they're clean. And when they start thinking about that, their singing goes from, there is a fountain. There, I mean, it just becomes energized. But what happens with most people, they don't think about the tune. They don't think about the words. They don't think about the rhythm. They don't think about the context. They don't think about where the song's from. They don't think, and so they sing everything. But you want to energize those performances. If it's a happy song, I want happy. If it's sad, I want sad. If it is gentle, we want lots and lots of gentleness. But many people, piano players, are terrible at this. They'll play a waltz. Yum, bum, 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 da, 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 da. Polonaise. Dun, 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 dun. The Fugue March. Glory to his name. What's the problem? They're processing the music. Play the C, hold it for one beat, play the E, hold it. But they're not processing the music of it. They've never thought about it. It's not getting inside. We want to energize it. And it's amazing how much work it can take as an instructor, as a teacher. Can you sing, like really sing? Huh? Are you talking to us? Yeah. But you want to work for energetic performances. Energetic performances. Okay. Then, as I go on here to the last point, so I can get my computer happy. This computer's smarter than I am. We want to exhibit godly motives. You want to have godly motives. Now, so many things about this. Boy, does the Bible talk about excellence? Yes, it does. Does the Bible tell us that we should be giving our best? Oh, yes, it does. Read Malachi. You're gonna take your second best and give it to your governor? Is that what you're going to do? Oh, no. If some VIP were there, you'd want to give him your best, but God gets the leftovers. And we don't want that. Malachi was very clear. The Bible's clear. Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. We want excellence, but you've got to really watch it because there are two different roads of false excellence. Okay? Some people will go through the road of, I want to be excellent, and I want to be as good and as famous as the best rock stars. And don't think for a minute that just because they're in your church that they don't have a goal of being a rock star someday. Some of them, that's what they want to be. Other people, they say, oh, I want to be excellent. I'm hoping someday to be an opera singer. Well, not every opera is wicked. Many of them are. Not every rock song is terrible, but they're all just bad. You know, I mean, but none of that's spiritual. You know, see, well, I know a rock song, and it just talks about we should have a good day. I know. The rock songs I hear, they're just always bad. And the music is worse. But you get these kids, you want to have the right motive. You want to exhibit godly motives. You want to be teaching them, we have the privilege of doing this for the Lord. This is for the Lord. And so we want to have the right heart in this. We want to do our best, not so we can be famous someday on the platform. We just want to do our best because that's the kind of people we should be. We want to be sure that when we're energizing them and when we're teaching them and we're getting them going and we're trying to give them information, that we keep them on the path of godliness. And we got to watch. Yeah, how many of you know that every boy who can swing a bat pictures himself in the major leagues? And it seems like so many people that can strum one chord on a guitar or can play one on the piano, they begin to think, and boy, you don't want pride. You don't want to get that pride. Now, you don't have to squash them. Yeah, you're terrible people. I'm going to, you know, don't. But you want to be sure that you're teaching godly, showing them examples of godliness so they don't go off in weird paths. You don't want to give them the idea that if you're a musician, you can sing in church. But if you're a good musician, you got to leave the church and do something better with your life. And you don't want to give them the idea that church music is stepped down. You want to just have the right motives. I love it when people take their church musicians and sing for the elderly in old folks' home. I love it when the teenagers sometimes come by our house and sing Christmas carols to us. I like it when they serve, when they sing at a banquet, when they do those kinds of things. Not everything should be a recital. Sometimes there should be lots of room for servant heart and just helping people and wanting to do what you can. You want to have the godly motives, okay? And so I think those are some very, very, very simple thoughts. But if we can keep those things in the forefront of our mind, they can help us as we're just working with it, as we're stewarding the lives of the people that God has brought our way. Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you for these people who sat here patiently during this hour. I pray, Lord, that something that I said would spark maybe some thought, some idea that would help some young person, Lord, that's not even here, to benefit and to become more Christ-like through this wonderful art of music that you have shared with us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for your kind attention, and you're dismissed.
How are you doing, young man?
Grant.
Grant?
Dean.
Where are you from?
Corona, California.
Are you from Corona? Well,
yes,
thanks,
sir,
for being here.
Grace Baptist Church.
Good for you.
I graduated from here with my bachelor's in music in 2010.
Good.
I have been considering off and on returning for the...
That summer master's program?
Summer master's in music.
You should. I mean, it starts Monday.
Mm-hmm. Next Monday?
Starts this coming Monday. Uh-huh. It's the first day.
I've already made plans to be in Sam Gross's wedding.
Ah, I see.
You know Sam Gross?
I know that name, yeah. Where's the wedding?
Tucson.
Okay. When is the wedding?
Next Saturday, 22nd.
Okay. All right. Well, think about it. We'd love to have you. It'd be awesome.
I just started teaching a couple of kids, a couple of the boys in our church, a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up to three.
Oh, good.
Two of them I'm teaching at no cost.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been teaching me as much. If not more than I've been teaching them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I pray
and
that
I'm
things will go well.
I pray
for
that
you.
I've been holding back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You teaching piano, voice?
Piano.
Well, good for you. Well, listen, we should just really pray about that master's thing. Maybe next summer. Next summer, there's a schedule change, and it starts the first Monday after the 4th of July. So that'd be good for you.
I've heard from a couple of my friends that you have really improved the music curriculum.
Oh,
here.
You got great students here. Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So let me take care of these other people. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming by, Grant.
They say you're tough.
I try to be. Yeah, I'm an all-star.
How are you doing?
Is it
going well?
Oh, yeah. Do you need anything before Monday?
No. If that's what class is going to be like, I'm excited.
No, we're going to start by getting out the gun, shooting all the students dead. I'm just kidding.
I do look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have everybody. It's going to be
great.
How are you doing, Linda?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to ask again about the masters. I know I was going to do it last summer,
yep,
and then you didn't get a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Starts Monday.
Oh, it is? This is Monday? Okay, I was afraid that it was. I thought it was a week from Monday. And then going back and forth is okay, like just saying, so when on Friday it doesn't get done?
There are lessons in the afternoon, and
Not conducting, but is there a way to do both of the other two?
No, you have to pick one. You can do voice and conducting. Yeah.
Okay, then I would probably do piano.
Okay, so class would be over at 12:30. How far are we going?
Not quite 5 hours, it's about 4 hours.
We could work on one of the Fridays, there's not really a lot. But we could work with you probably by 1 hour.
Oh, really? Okay. Then what time on Monday do I need to
Starts
be here? Okay, so
that's
I would need to come Sunday night.
Yeah,
okay.
That's hard.
That's okay. I could work it to come Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Right?
We do not have class on 4th of July when we have class the day after.
Okay.
The class this summer is the Friday of the 5th of July.
Oh, so which would be the 6th?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, in a way, it is on the 5th. It's after the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
I believe the calendar will end on Friday the 5th.
Okay. Okay. And then if I stayed at the Getches instead?
It's $14.95.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
$14.95. And is that just do all at once, or what? How does that
no,
work?
No, you do it in
okay.
And it's about one third due when you register.
Okay.
And then that's like a month or a month or something. I can get you the exact dates, but
okay.
The school hasn't been able to apply for that, so it does not have to be totally late.
Right, right. And then during the year,
sorry,
that's okay.
During the year, then obviously, you know, I've got 5 kids and I'm just trying to manage them. So.
What are you doing your
time? I've been from about 10 at night to about 6 in the morning. so how much is required during the year then? Like how many? Typically, how many hours a week would I
be? If you want to graduate exactly on time and just get the sentence as rapidly as you can.
Which would be 3 years?
Well, technically, it's 2 years and 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
It's 3 summers.
Okay.
But if you think about it,
sure.
If
okay,
you started, it
become.
Would be 2 years and 3 weeks out of your
The 3 weeks is not as big of a deal as how many hours
yeah.
it will take during
mm-hmm.
the.
And I think that, have you ever done any online courses before?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 2 years.
Two classes? A year or a semester?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
not
definitely
doable. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can get you the detail.
Okay.
But it's not like 20 credits. And it's just the bulk of the crediting, trying to remember if we need it 34, I think it's 34 credits. But I think 21 on the residencies and it was like 15 or more packs. So it's like six credits.
So then if I finish up this piano one and I want to do one for voice, then right after, get a master's in voice too, then is that possible?
Normally you have more weeks in the offer.
Right, I mean
yeah.
If I do this for the next 2 years and 3 weeks
oh,
and
I
then
see.
Want to do,
oh,
okay.
Yeah, you can come back.
Will I be repeating any of the classes or will it be all different classes?
We haven't crossed that bridge yet.
Okay.
But probably there is some repetition.
Would those credits count? Could I maybe carry
yeah.
those over?
You
so I wouldn't have to take the same class?
Probably, yes. You wouldn't. You'd likely have to bring the same. You would not be able to get 2 master's degrees. But that you would have a master's degree with 2 proficiencies.
Okay. But it's just not possible to do it at the same time?
Because we just wind up not having to do it. To if you're going to do double.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Okay.
And then there's a certain amount of work involved that you need to have time to get everything done. Last year we did work with it.
During the 3 weeks?
And so if you want to, you might, well, no, you have 5 kids, you must have been
able to
see it.
That's
know.
True.
You know
I can
what
go
that
3 weeks
like.
Without
what's the big deal?
Okay,
so
all
it
right.
may not be feasible.
Okay, so then if I'm going to be here this Monday, where do I register?
Just come to Revels, just down the hall, it's 204. We'll start there at 8 o'clock, and we'll have a meeting in about 3 minutes, and about 15 minutes later, we'll all march over to the business office.
Okay, so that's all I need to do first,
yeah.
is come in
and if you are planning to come, just zip 10 and show up.
Okay.
We can officially, but it's not
sure.
going to be under graduate, there will be your records. Right? So there's a little paperwork that's going to be taken care of,
okay.
but it's not going to be prohibited from starting.
Okay, great. That's
okay.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
What I'll do is quickly.